From the mid-north coast of New South Wales, welcome to the GCN Show.
Welcome to the GCN Show. Coming up this week, does the increasing popularity of gravel riding mean that cyclists are admitting defeat to motorists? Are we only doing it because we're increasingly fearful riding on the roads?
What a question, Connor. Plus, the Belgian cafe giving away free eclairs, how Zwift are venturing outdoors, and a huge bumper edition of tech news. This week in the world of cycling, we learnt that there's a new Ian Stannard in town.
Nilsson Paulus did the impossible by winning Tours de Flandre from a group of four riders, with the other three all being Visma Lisa Bike teammates.
It was like incredible and horrific in equal measure, wasn't it? I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
He'll always be remembered for that win, though, that is for sure. We also learned that Pogacar is ready for Roubaix. He did a recon last week and took multiple KOMs, including the five-star sector of Monzon-Pavel.
Although, subsequent footage revealed he may have been pacing behind a motorbike. Someone flag it, I would say. Someone flag it. And finally, I learned that gravel riding on a sunny day in a dry New Forest National Park is virtually unbeatable.
Oh, just rewind a second. You did a ride. Another ride.
Yeah, I'm ramping things up good and proper now, Connor.
How long?
3 hours. Average speed of 26 kilometres per hour, I'll have you know, on gravel.
On the e-bike then?
No, thank you very much. 100% under my own steam. And e-bikes cut out anyway, don't they, at 25 kilometres per hour. But the problem that I have with bike riding is that it gives you too much time to think about stuff.
Okay. Doesn't it? What were you thinking about?
I started contemplating why I was enjoying it so much, and then about half an hour later, I'd convinced myself that the increasing popularity of gravel riding is us admitting defeat to motorists.
That's quite the leap, but go on.
Okay. So I started by answering my own question as to why I was enjoying it so much. Number one, it was a beautiful spring day. That helps, isn't it? Number two, it was in stunning surroundings.
Yeah, that's a good start.
Yeah.
I mean, they both help.
However, both of these things would also have applied to a road ride. Number three, it was very quiet. I saw a few people, but not many. But more to the point, because I was predominantly riding off-road, I barely saw a car on my three-hour ride.
That's also a good ingredient for a great bike ride.
Exactly. So yeah. Then I started thinking, would it be any less beautiful if I was riding on the road but without any cars? And my answer to that was no. The weather would have been the same, the views would have been almost exactly the same, and I've had the added bonus that I wouldn't have had to open and shut so many bloody gates.
Oh, they are annoying, aren't they?
They're so annoying, yes. Anyway, what I'm not doing gravel riding for is like the technical challenge of it or the thrill of it, because it's not like it's testing my bike handling skills, really. They're roads, but gravel instead of tarmac, to sort of point out the obvious. So the only difference is the lack of traffic, and that makes a huge difference to your ride.
Yeah, it does, which is definitely a reason why so many riders, I think, are turning to gravel.
So there comes the question. Is that effectively admitting defeat to motorists? I mean, like, basically saying, you're too scary, motorists, so I'm going to get away from you. You win. You can have the tarmac roads to yourselves. And actually, before we go on to that, I should ask you what it is about gravel riding that you love so much, because you do love it, don't you?
Yeah, I absolutely love it. I think I'd list the same things as you. So it's the lack of traffic. It's a big one for me. Riding on gravel reminds me of how I used to feel actually when I was on small back roads, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, near where I grew up. They're quite busy now. I'm not sure if I'm looking back with rose-tinted glasses, but it feels increasingly hard to find truly quiet back roads now.
It does, yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, the roads that I used to think would be almost guaranteed to be nice and quiet are way busier now. I think sat navs are partly to blame. They've played a role in that change for sure. But there are also more cars on the road in the UK, for example. So there's about 3.5 million more cars here, or 10% more, than just 10 years ago. And that will be similar the world over.
That is a lot, isn't it? And as Si pointed out in his video on Sunday, the more roads get built, the more cars will drive on them. Unless you live somewhere that's naturally remote and isolated, the chances of finding a genuinely quiet road are increasingly slim. Maybe super early in the morning, but you have to get up really early to get a full ride in before the roads get busy.
Yeah, not my thing really, super early riding. Anyway, sorry, back to gravel. I think I sort of divert you away from the topic. What else do you love about gravel riding?
I do think it's more than just the absence of traffic. Riding gravel, it opens up another level of exploration. You can get to places on gravel that you often can't on tarmac, so it gives you more options, more choice. And the great thing about gravel bikes is that they're not slow on the road either, so you can basically get the best of both worlds.
Good point. Anything else?
I think it's more stimulating too. So I take your point about the lack of technical requirements on specific rides that you've done, but as you saw from my route planning in Spain, it can be more technical, and then it requires more of your concentration.
Well, yes, I do remember very well that downhill UCI Mountain Bike World Cup level single track that you took me down on a gravel bike.
I admit, like, I wouldn't do that again, but it was fun. It was fun, right?
What do you mean it was fun? Walking down a rocky cliff face, and you had road shoes on for it as well.
Okay, it's a good story to tell, in hindsight, isn't it? Type 2 fun. Well, I'd also say, though, that it is more relaxing, and not just because of the lack of vehicles. There's less of a need for speed on gravel, and I find that on a road, a ride can spiral into a test of speed, even if you kind of didn't set out with that purpose. Whereas on gravel, I just feel like I can cruise comfortably without even thinking about wanting or needing to go faster.
I'm with you on most of that. I've still found that I've ended up with the need for speed even on gravel. That's probably just a mentality kind of thing. I just can't seem to ride a bike without at some point starting to think about numbers and improving them.
I think I would say the tech can be a bit more innovative at the moment because it's like a newer discipline. I do like my tech, plus gravel bikes, they're more comfortable. So, you know, bigger tires, more relaxed geometry. I can do a really long gravel ride without it feeling like my posture is taking a bashing.
I get that. I get that as well. Yeah, you rarely feel the need to get aero. Sometimes still, but not as much. Well, you are convincing me that there is more to gravel riding than just avoiding traffic. But I think the question remains, if more and more cyclists end up turning to gravel, are we admitting defeat to motorists?
No.
Why?
Because A, you still ride on the road. How many gravel rides have you done that haven't included some road?
None.
Exactly. And B, mountain biking, it isn't admitting defeat to motorists. It's just a different form of cycling that some people prefer. I'd say it's the same with gravel. And C, does it matter?
I'd say it does matter, actually. This is what I was thinking on Saturday on my ride. So the fewer cyclists there are on the road, the less interest is going to be from local authorities into making it better for us, better infrastructure, making the roads a less scary place to be.
Yeah, I take your point. I must admit, my recent road rides in Taiwan were a breath of fresh air. Even some of their main roads, they are quieter than the back roads around my neck of the woods.
See?
Yeah.
It's the traffic. I told you. Now, it often feels like we are fighting a losing battle, I say we as cyclists. Outside of a few countries and cities around the world, we're rarely prioritised, are we? And it doesn't look like we will be prioritised anytime soon.
Yeah, and I guess that puts some people off even starting cycling because they're afraid of riding on the road.
Yeah, and ideally that's not the case, but it is. It's an understandable thought to have if you're not confident on a bike, especially. My other conclusion, both on my ride and also now that we're talking about it, is that I'm not qualified to answer my own question, Connor. I don't have the data of how many riders who previously went out on the road are now turning to gravel. And by virtue of that, how many fewer cyclists there are on the road than there used to be, or there could be.
I'm not sure anyone would have that data.
Probably not, no. However, what I do know is that we have some very switched on viewers who've got some great perspectives on topics just like this. So it's over to you. Do you at home think the rise of gravel has lessened the number of cyclists on the road? And if so, do you see that as us admitting defeat to the motorists?
And then in the comment section down below, interested to hear all your thoughts.
I'll be so interested to hear your thoughts on this. Just before we finish, though, if you haven't already watched Si's video from Sunday, please do. It's basically Carspiracy Part 2. I cannot recommend it enough. It's a real eye-opener. And if you agree with me, having watched it, it would be massively appreciated if you could share it with a few friends as well, because we would love to get as many eyeballs as possible onto that topic.
And now it's time for cycling shorts.
Cycling shorts now, and we're going to start with the fact that if anyone ever did this for me, I think my day, month, year would be made.
Connor, if anyone ever did that and you obliged, I think you might put said bakery out of business.
That was a true point, actually. Van Aert, though, he did claim that he took 36 eclairs home. I reckon I could do 50.
I'm pretty sure Wout would have shared his 36 eclairs.
Well, I wouldn't.
Go on 50.
Yeah, go on 50. Anyway, we were talking about this. We spotted this on Wout Strava on a ride. He posted in the build-up to last weekend's Tour of Flanders. A local bakery put a sign up offering free cake to the local favourite if he stopped. And he duly obliged. The build-up to that race is incredible to witness, actually.
To be in Belgium at that time of
and
year.
It's just like Christmas for the Belgians.
It's like so Christmas much. Van Aert.
It was, wasn't it?
36 eclairs, yeah. Crikey. At least he was able to park up and collect those pastries quite easily. The beauty of travelling by bike. But moving on, campaigners here in the UK, however, have called on the government to introduce higher charges for SUV owners after it emerged that over 1 million cars are sold each year that are too big to fit in the average urban parking space. 1.2 million cars that are over 1.8 metres wide were sold in the UK last year.
That's a crazy stat.
So many.
Yeah. If you are for or against active transport methods, it's quite hard to argue with that number. Researchers from campaign network Clean Cities also highlighted how larger cars are more dangerous in crashes due to their increased size and weight, and that these vehicles are now starting to kind of outgrow towns and cities. This is something we cyclists are unfortunately acutely aware of. And also, you know, as a side, these bigger vehicles, they create more damage to roads over time, which costs.
Not much positive about this, really, is
there? No.
Paris, actually, is one city which has already started to clamp down, I believe, on SUVs, introducing a special parking charge for them, which is triple that of a regular car. Now, you could argue that these sorts of cars have been made fashionable by the likes of celebrities and pro footballers. I'm trying to do a segue here, Connor.
Yeah.
Although, not Timothy Castain of Fulham FC, it turns out, because he was seen cycling home in London after his team beat Liverpool 3-2 at the weekend. Liverpool being top of the league, for those of you that don't follow football.
Good on him. And that was actually on one of the city's rental e-bikes, which is cool to see.
It was really cool, yeah.
Moving on now to a bit of tech news, and there has been a whole bunch to round up from the week, starting with Wahoo, who today launched their new Bolt and Roam head units, plus a new one to their stable, the Tracker Radar Light.
Yeah, both head units see a newly designed display, increased battery life and mapping capabilities. And in the case of the Roam, it's got a touchscreen now as well. I also like the fact that it appears you'll now be able to create and send routes from Google Maps, which is a function I think will make life a hell of a lot easier for some people.
The Tracker Radar Taillight is also part of this launch. By the way, this is more of a kind of sneak peek as to what's coming. Mm. Told the full retail launch will be the 6th of May. So the radar will pair with your head unit and allow detection of traffic behind of up to 150 metres, as well as providing a kind of brake light as well, as being an actual rear light, of course.
Don't need it on gravel.
No, that's true. It's got a claimed weight to 99 grams and a battery life of 20 hours in most conservative mode. I'm looking forward to trying these out, actually.
Yeah, they look quite cool, don't they? Back to Flanders from the weekend now. And some of you will have noticed that Lotto Destiny riders were each on different custom-painted bikes for that race. That was to celebrate the 40 years that the team has been around and sponsored by the Belgian National Lottery. And so each rider got a special Mayo personalised bike, and the team rode in custom jerseys on the day as well.
I liked the bikes. I'm not sure about the jerseys.
You are joking me.
I don't know.
They were fantastic.
I like out there stuff. I don't know. Anyway, prove me wrong. Although on my previous form, I'm probably not the best person to ask about artistic design. I think Orbea is still slightly
Oh, your custom bike design, yes.
Yeah, my previous attempts.
Yeah, I think you did scar them, actually.
Yeah, moving on.
Yeah, moving on. One place that you can customise your bike and kit to no end, actually, with zero repercussions, Connor, is Zwift. And actually, there's another segue for you. And actually, for the first time, you can now keep tabs on your training progress, both in the game, after riding indoors, and now out on the road in the Zwift Companion app.
Yeah, really interesting this. I think if you're someone who combines indoor and outdoor riding a lot, it's going to be nice to keep tabs on everything in one place. So your outdoor rides will now contribute to your training score on Zwift, providing insight into whether you're under or over training, fresh or fatigued, and your XP still notches up.
Oh, does it?
In game two.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, definitely taking advantage of that. Some of the epics we've got planned here on GCN soon.
Might motivate me to get out more as well, yeah. My gravel rides. Don't forget as well, our weekly Zwift rides are still ongoing. 6:30 p.m. BST every single Wednesday. So this Wednesday, or I guess tomorrow if you're watching this GCN show as it comes out, it's the turn of GCN en Francais presenter Louis Piolet to lead proceedings. And he is going to be joined by French e-cycling champion Léo Villain-Commenet. So do jump onto that if you get the chance.
Yep, competition time now to round up cycling shorts. Philippe Merry was the winner of our recent core competitions. We had a bunch of core goodies and the new Core 2 sensor. Well done, Philippe. We've also got a new competition running, actually, to win $100 worth of Precision Fuel and Hydration products. Sign up by the link in the description to be in it to win it. This one runs until the 18th of April.
I've got through my fair share of Precision Nutrition gels and chews, trying to get my carb intake dialed ahead of Manchester to London. I like those. I like the gels.
Yeah. She's brilliant as well.
Right then, we're going to end cycling shorts for no apparent or good reason with some recent footage from Taiwan that Connor took of Ollie. He was basically doing some mid-ride stretching in the jungle.
He knows I filmed this. Sorry, Ollie.
Next up is hack /bodge of the week. We've got some belters, according to Connor.
Yeah, we
this
do.
Coming week.
Starting off with PDXGCRAYS. Infant bottle drying rack has bid on drying rack. While trying to come up with a tidy way to dry my freshly washed billions, it occurred to me to use an infant feeding bottle drying rack. It works like a charm and is easy to slide the whole thing out of the way if needed. It's also a catch tray at the bottom to catch water drips and Bob's your uncle.
Bob's your uncle. It's quite a way to sign it off.
I think that's who, yeah.
How do you dry yours?
That's classic Boz, just leave them lying around for ages and then just shake them off.
What do you mean lying around? Oh, you leave them lying around full?
Oh, I'm so bad at cleaning my bottles, it's bad, yeah.
Oh, God, I wish I hadn't asked you now. I mean, I just leave mine upside down on the sort of drying rack next to the kitchen.
I do that.
And everything else that I've washed.
Yeah, I do that when I get around to it, but it's always too late and then I have to do the full milk and then...
Oh, blimey.
An intensive clean.
Well, I mean, this should be a definite hack from you then.
Yeah, no, it's a hack from me.
But you just need someone to come around and do it for you as well, by the sound of it. All right, I'll go hack for that one as well. Check this one out. This is from Shepherd Myers. Hi, GCN. I do bicycle seat repair /recovery as a hobby, and in the spirit of the spring classics, I did a cobbled-themed relief pattern. Unlike riding on the cobbled, it's a functional seat and still comfortable to sit on. I think this looks absolutely fantastic, and I'm going to have to take Shepherd's word for it that it's comfortable, because it sort of doesn't look like it would be, does it, sitting on cobbled?
Yeah.
Obviously, it's foam.
I can't feel it being comfortable. It's like that erratic pattern.
Are you saying Shepherd's lying?
Well, I think it becomes more for like a kind of ride around town, but for like a six-hour ride sitting on that... there's a lot of crevices.
Well, either way, it looks
mega. Banging. Yeah, it looks
absolutely
amazing.
Absolutely mega.
I'm going to say hack. I'm going to say
word. Definitely buy that. Oh, it's a definite hack. That. Yeah. That could be like a product that you sell in the shops.
Yeah, that is cool. Michael Stoops next, a sealant dipstick. After seeing the piece on the fancy sealant dipstick and the viewers' comments about needing a valve core remover on the top end, I decided to try making one or two of my own. I had some 2mm stainless rod laying around, so I cut it down with a Dremel, ground an area flat, and then cut notches to hold the sealant. When measuring, I epoxied a valve core tool to one of them and a valve cap with core wrench on the other for a smaller form factor.
I understood about 50% of that. So this is to get dried sealant out from your valve, is it?
No, so it's like a dipstick. So you take the valve core out, so he's got his valve core on his yeah. rod, and then the ridged bit at the end, you put in just to see how deep the sealant is.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah. I must have missed this previous dipstick one from a few weeks ago.
That feels really good. I think that's a hack.
And that just tells you whether you've got enough sealant installed, does it?
Yeah.
Well, I'll go with hack as well.
The problem I find with valve core removers is they're such a small tool. I'm always losing them. Always lost. It's like that small thing in your toolbox or whatever, and you just never find it when you want
pliers,
to.
Pliers, can you?
You can, yeah, but I'm big hands, I'm clumsy. I need the right tool for the job.
Do you mean you'd rather, if you'd be a big hand, you'd rather that little tool than pliers?
Because I can't, like, I'm not as dainty with the pliers, so just go in.
Oh, break it, I see.
Yeah.
All right, well, now it's been explained to me, I'm going with hack for that one, Michael, as well. You're going hack?
I'm going hack, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
good week so far for hacks and bodges. Finally, Ben from Bristol. Put rad rack. Spotted whilst walking through the village of North Hinsky near Oxford, a novel use of a vintage style radiator which holds a couple of bikes very nicely indeed. What do you reckon of that?
So I thought this was a hack,
right?
Because it's a great use, but then our camera man here said that vintage radiators are going for a good price at the moment. I did a quick Google. Kev, you get a radiator, like 200, that's 280 quid, that radiator.
No.
You could buy quite a lot of actual bike rides. Well,
that won't be there for long, then. Will it? Just leave the bikes behind.
Yeah.
Just grab the radiator.
But I think it's still a hack.
Do you reckon? I think I'm going to give bodge for this.
It might be broken.
I don't really know why. I just feel like they've all been hacked so far, and I just need a bodge, and it's not Ben from Bristol's own hack or bodge, so he won't be offended.
Go on, then.
I'll go bodge.
Yeah, go on. I'll go with the masses. Go bodge.
With the masses, as in me.
Yeah.
Then we're both going bodge to that one. Thanks for your contributions once again to the hacks and bodges section this week. If you'd like to get ready for next week and have your hack or bodge featured, all you've got to do is go to globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader.
Caption competition now, where we give you a cycling-related photo and you give us your best caption with a chance of winning coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you have to do is put your caption with the hashtag caption competition. Last week's photo was an interesting one.
Last week's was this one of a Cervelo bike floating in a stream. That's the bike of Ninka Venoven, who rides a Visma Lisa bike, and I think the race was Gent Wevelgem. The winner this week is Ben Lorty, but caption the newest member of the I always do this for caption competition. I'll take another run up at that. Ben Lorty put the newest member of the Cervelo test stream.
I like that. I like
very
that.
Very good, yeah. Ben. Well, very apt that. As
yeah.
well.
Get in touch.
Yeah, get in touch on Facebook. Send us your address there. We'll get a bottle that's fully dried, never used, out to you. This week's photo is from the podium of the Men's Tour of Flanders with Pedersen, Pogacar and Mathieu van der Poel. I, as ever, will get you started. Hey, today, Conor Dunn says you're not going to win Roubaix. Now, this might not mean much to you because the Roubaix preview show won't be out yet if you're watching us on Tuesday, but it will be out on GCN Racing tomorrow. And Conor here made quite the statement at the end.
I'm going to regret this, aren't I?
Are you
right? I'm going to regret this. It's going to be clipped up forever. I'll never be able to regret it. Forget it. That was a good one, though. Good one.
Yeah.
Give us your attempts below.
Yeah, put them in the comments section down below, your best captions. We'll pick a winner next week. Make sure you do check out that Roubaix preview show tomorrow. I don't know what's gone wrong with my voice and head today.
Right, get excited about Roubaix. That's what it's all about.
Before we let you know what's coming up on GCN over the next week, we're going to pick out a few of our favourite comments from the last week's worth of videos, starting, as ever, with a couple from underneath last week's show. Rahatsahu. I'm getting really bad with usernames as well the last few weeks. Said, it's Pogacar versus MVDP in this time of the season. It'll be Pogacar versus Vingegaard in May and June. It's Poggy that is defining current cycling. He's quite the rider, isn't he? Just the fact he's doing Roubaix on Sunday is quite remarkable. Whilst Glavson wrote in and said, what annoys me the most about Poggy and MVDP, who in my eyes are gods on bikes, is that other riders' great victories... of the great riders' victories are always diminished by the phrase in their absence. But I kind of... It's a bit like cyclocross before Van Aert and Van der Poel turn up. You watch it kind of knowing that you're not necessarily watching the best cross riders in the world. So there's always a caveat there. I think it's kind of the same when those two don't turn up to a one-day race or a stage race.
Yeah. Yeah, fair point.
Anyway, I do take your point on board.
Under the last video on pedaling technique you'll ever need to watch, at What We Learned, said, I considered trying to optimise my pedaling a while back and then I realised that I only have one life and pretty much anything else would be a better use of my time.
Very good, very good.
At Ryan IE8699 said, I always find that I ride better when I'm pedaling comfortably I've tried changing up my natural pedalling style a few times based on various techniques, but whenever I returned back to my natural style, I immediately felt better and immediately improved my power, speed and cadence control. So this video makes so much sense to me.
Yes. Meanwhile, underneath everything you thought you knew about roads is a lie, which the video I was pointing towards earlier on in the show. Colorani Slavic, but I appreciate GCN doing more content on safer streets and the absurdity of normal road designs lately. Keep it up, please. Ask Jimmy Hibbs, put millions of cars on the road, but the odd cyclist is the one in the way. Also kind of alludes to what we were talking about earlier, isn't it?
Yeah. Sustainable Engineer said a car is like a hammer, it's just a tool. The problem starts when you use that tool for everything. So it's a good point. And at James65475, this is fantastic. I've worked as a transport planner for 25 years, been banging on about this for the same amount of time. Finally, it feels like something might change. Thanks, GCN. Could make some crack about it feeling like Si's been banging on about it almost as long.
I think that's a note for you to sort of maybe bang on about. It wasn't for me.
I wasn't sure if James had given that as me as a note.
I don't think so.
No?
It's part of the comment.
Oh, sorry, I take it all back. It's just, it's in italics, that bit. I thought somebody else had put it in afterwards. Anyway, point taken.
He has been banging on about it for a long time.
So I'll be so pleased as well that somebody that's got as much experience as you, James, in transport planning, enjoyed watching that video, thought it was factually correct, etc., which is why we're trying to encourage as many people as possible to watch it and to share it with their mates. Right, on to what's coming up on the channel this week. It's quite a lot of Connor, actually, this week. As well as saying that Pogacar will not win Roubaix. That preview show is out on Wednesday. On Thursday, it's Connor's Everyday Heroes.
Yeah, so this is like the first in a bit of a series I'm trying to get started here on the channel, where we kind of celebrate just riders out there from different sorts of ability levels. I've got a few challenges planned over the years, but this first video, I wanted to get the perspective from people on what bikes they prefer if they're not a very experienced cyclist, like myself, who's been riding most of my life. I want to see whether a road bike, a mountain bike or a gravel bike be preferred in terms of like speed or comfort, and just to get a different perspective to my own.
That's cool.
So yeah, be interested to get your thoughts on it when you watch.
That sounds very interesting. So that's out on Thursday. On Saturday is a video that I've been working on. It's kind of an investigation into testosterone. Now, you might not think it's particularly cycling related, but lots of you who've been fans of the sport for any period of time will know that there are an awful lot of cyclists over the decades who've tested positive for testosterone. Sky also came under fire, didn't they, because it was found that their team doctor, Richard Freeman, had ordered testosterone patches, I think they were. Tester gel, which arrived at the Manchester Velodrome, where both British Cycling and Team Sky were based at the time. And he was convicted of 18 counts or charges that he was charged with. But anyway, outside of that, there's a lot of TRT being advertised at the moment, testosterone replacement therapy. And it's an interesting thing because as a cyclist, you say to yourself, never go near that, it's a banned substance, you know. But on the other hand, if you are severely lacking in testosterone, it's probably going to be healthier for you to have TRT than not. Anyway, I spoke to a doctor about whether others should consider testosterone replacement therapy, and I found it really interesting. So that video is coming out on Saturday. Then we're back to Connor on Sunday, who was a cop for a day.
Yeah, I was a policeman, cop for the day, on a bike, which was a fascinating day. Really different to anything I've done on the channel before. I mean, we have a lot of fun riding bikes, don't we? Mm-hmm. And there's always a lot of fun when you're out filming bikes too. And that day was the same in a way, but it was also very serious too. Following two policemen here who, you know, do their usual beat on a bike.
Yeah.
It's really interesting just to see how a bike is useful for this and how it helps them do their job in a better way. They couldn't do it really on a car or on foot. But yeah.
What I'm hoping to see is you involved in a chase and not making the catch.
So we were involved in a chase.
Oh, were you?
We had a chase, yeah.
Oh, don't give too much away, but I think that's enough to get people hooked.
It was a proper drop a coffee and go.
Wow.
So I'll leave it at that.
Okay, well, that video is out on Sunday. And I think... Oh, also keep your eyes out for some content that should be coming back from Alex, who's headed out to see Park Tools. I think the first content you're going to see is going to come from the Sea Otter Classic over in the US. So keep your eyes peeled for that on GCN Tech this week. All right, I think that is the end of the show this week. Thanks for joining me, Connor.
Yeah, thank you.
And let us know your thoughts on whether gravel riding is basically admitting defeat to motorists.